they will not return void unto me, but they will go forth and accomplish what I desire. They will bring life. They will bring blessing. They will give you the victory. So grab a hold. Hear and believe the words of the Lord. Hear and believe his sayings. And you will be blessed. You will pass every test. And you'll experience the best, says the Lord. Hallelujah, Father. We give you thanks and praise. Oh, we bless your holy name. Chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to look at verse 35. And while you're turning, you can listen to an email that went astray. Mr. Arnold, a businessman from Tulsa, Oklahoma, went on a business trip to Amarillo, Texas. He immediately sent an email back home to his wife, Paula. Unfortunately, he forgot his wife's exact email address, and the email ended up going to a Mrs. P. Arnold in Rapid City, South Dakota, the wife of a preacher who had just died. The preacher's wife, Penny, took one look at the email and promptly fainted. When she was finally revived by her daughter, Penny hysterically pointed to the message which read, "Arrived safely, but it sure is hot down here." You don't want to get that email mixed up. Amen? Well, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35, we see a verse here that's going to be our text as we focus on going the distance with confidence. It says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward." And I had to go back a little bit to see what would cause someone to cast away their confidence. You know, confidence obviously is something that we need to keep and maintain because it has a great reward. And there are things in life that come against us that try to decrease our confidence. But I want you to know today that you can be confident. And we're going to talk about how you can go the distance with confidence. And we're going to understand what that is. And we're going to see a great example of someone who operated in great confidence. So go back to verse 19. And he says some things here. He says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus." You know, we sang about entering God's presence today. Did you know that when you enter God's presence, you're going to increase your confidence? The moment, the time that you spend in God's presence, God is going to instill you with confidence and boldness and strength. And everything that is against you will fall away in his presence. So he's telling us here that we need to, we have boldness. Not we're going to get it, but we have it. Having boldness. That means I have it now, brethren, to enter into the holiest. Do you realize that we can enter the holiest place, which is God's throne, where the mercy seat is, where the Ark of the Covenant is, where his glory resounds, where you can see the rainbow over the throne, and we have access into this place. But we need to go there. Amen? If you have boldness, you need to enter. So you need to enter. You need to develop a relationship with Jesus, because he's the key to it all. And then he said, "By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil," that is to say, his flesh. Did you know that you need to allow God to separate and cleanse you? Before a priest could enter into the Holy of Holies, they had to pass by a laver, which was a wash basin, basically. And they had to wash themselves, and then they could enter in. But I want you to notice something. We enter into his presence in a new and living way, which he consecrated for us, which he prepared for us, all right? And having a high priest over the house of God, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You know, we've got to draw near to God and we've got to develop our faith. Why did it say God draw near to us and then we'll draw near to him? Because he's already done it. He already came. Now it's up to us to draw near to him. And it's up to us, how do we develop our faith? How do we develop faith? Did you know that faith is like a muscle? How do the bodybuilders, how do they develop their muscles? You know, they go into the gym, right? And they lift these weights. And if you're a fan of Arnold Schwarzenegger, you're telling yourself, I'm not a girly man. And it's the repetition of the weightlifting day in and day out. Their muscles get bigger and bigger. And when your muscles grow, you can lift more weights. Right? Now, I might be able to lift some weight now, but if I spent some time in it, I'd be able to lift more weight than what I can now. And the same thing is true with our faith. Your faith has to be developed. Did you know that while Mary sat at Jesus' feet, her faith was being developed so that she could witness a resurrection of her brother? What was she doing sitting at Jesus' feet? She was hearing words. And faith comes by hearing. So the words that she was hearing from Jesus, they were going directly to develop her faith. She had faith where she could stop all distractions and focus on Jesus. All right? I'm saying all this because this leads up to why we cast our confidence away. We've got to let the water of the word cleanse our conscience sometimes. Did you know that our bodies are washed with pure water, our hearts are sprinkled from an evil conscience? You know, sometimes because of false information, we have an evil conscience. And we have to be cleansed from our conscience. Why is it important to be cleansed in your conscience? Because the conscience is the voice of your spirit. And just like a clogged pipe, right? When our conscience is not cleansed, it's like a clogged pipe that the water can't flow through it. And when our consciences are evil, we're not hearing what God is saying. And so we need to be cleansed in our conscience. Amen? And this all has to do with our confidence. Okay? Then he says in verse 23, hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You know, you got to know that God is faithful. What he says, he will do, period. No questions about it. Okay? So we're going to have to make and practice a confession of hope, and we're going to have to not waver. But we're going to have to trust in God's character and his immutability. And we're going to learn about what that word means. How many know that when you make up your mind to trust God, there's no turning back? When you make up your mind to trust God, there's no option A, option B, or option C. I mean, could you think about it? If David appeared on the battlefield and he'd say, okay, now what are my options? He went on that battlefield with no options because he believed God. Okay? Verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You're going to have to consider people and you're going to have to stir up love and good works. How many know God's in the people business? And he has great concern about people. He loved people so much he became one. Think about that. He became a person to show us how to live for him. All right? Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. What's he talking about there? Church. He's talking about church attendance. but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Our church attendance ought to increase as the day gets nearer of the Lord's return. It shouldn't be decreasing, it should be increasing. And look at, apparently there were a lot of people who were forsaking the assembling of themselves together. Okay? So we need to be faithful to church, even more so as the end draws near. Then he said, verse 26, if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. You know, when we sin knowing that we shouldn't do it, knowing what the truth is, I mean, there's no more sacrifice for sin. In other words, we can't blame anybody else but ourselves. When we sin willfully, and when we do that, there's a mess that comes. We can't blame anybody else for that mess. Because notice, we did it willfully. Okay? And what that leads to, verse 27, it leads to a fearful looking for judgment and a fiery indignation which shall devour our adversaries. And then I want to go down to verse 32. It says, but to call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured great fight of afflictions. You know, when people come to Christ, it's like being illuminated, being enlightened, you know, because Jesus is the light, the entrance of his word gives light. How many of you, when you got saved, you had such a zeal about you? You were like, bring it on. I'm ready to serve Jesus. I'm ready to go to the ends of the earth. You know, one time there was a girl from a church I went to in Illinois, and she was called to go to South Africa. And so we did a skit for her to go to South Africa. And my part in the skit was I dressed up as a gorilla. And they sang the song, Please Don't Send Me to Africa. I don't know if you know that song, but while we were singing this song, at the end of the song, I'm this gorilla. I came out and I ran at her and put her over my shoulders and ran off because, you know, she was going to Africa in any way. But sometimes we lose our zeal after we get born again. And sometimes the challenges that we face become more difficult and more scary from when we first got born again. And this is what he's saying here. This is why people get to the point where they cast off their confidence. Because, you know, sometimes there is a cost to following God. And people don't want to pay that cost. So, if we don't want to cast away our confidence, you've got to become a person that endures some things. You've got to know and do God's will. You've got to know that what God promises, he will fulfill. You've got to know the steadfastness that it increases confidence. All right? And we get to this point here. People got to this point where they were casting away their confidence. They were drawing back. They weren't as sure as they were. They weren't as certain as they were before. Something was causing them to cast away their confidence. And when you cast away your confidence, you lose your reward. But I don't want you to cast away your confidence today. I want you to go the distance with confidence. You know, we're heading into the fall season, aren't we? Pretty soon it'll be fall. The leaves will be falling. Pretty soon, that means that this year is coming to a close. Right? 2014 is coming to an end. We're in the final lap of 2014. So how are you going to finish this year? I want you to finish strong. I want you to finish with confidence. I want you to be bold as a lion. Because that's what the righteous are. They're as bold as a lion. You ever see a lion? I saw lions take on elephants. I've seen lions take on zebras. They're bold. I mean, I've seen a lion just jump on a zebra and grab its claws into it and bring that zebra to the ground. That's bold. That's how we need to be. All right? So what is confidence? It's self-assurance. It's certainty. It's based on a belief that you can overcome and be victorious over every challenge you face. See, here's the thing about confidence. It's not, the situations don't affect the confidence. Your confidence affects your situations. Okay? Go with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. See, in life, people are tempted to cast away their confidence. And you can see it how they live and how they talk and how they face challenges and what they do in the midst of those challenges. But 2 Timothy, chapter 2, maybe it might be 1 Timothy. Let me just check. Nope, it's not that. Well, let's read this. He said, verse 12, he said, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Is that a statement of confidence? When you say that you're going to suffer, but in your mindset is, I'm going to reign. But you're not reigning, you're suffering. Oh, you just wait, I'm going to reign. Because the suffering, see, your confidence will help you overcome the suffering. If we deny him, he also will deny us. That's not good. Well, Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. And then he said, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. Thank God that he doesn't deny himself. And there was another point where Paul said, I know in whom I believed, and I am confident that he's able to keep that which I commit to him. See, your confidence comes from Christ. See, if you put confidence in the flesh, putting confidence in the flesh is a dead end. It will produce limited results, but it won't produce the results that are necessary to overcome the challenge. I'm not talking about self-confidence. I'm talking about a confidence that comes from God Almighty, that comes from his presence, that comes from him himself. Go with me to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. And we're going to get to the story here that you're going to see this come to pass. Psalm 71, and let's look at verse 4. The psalmist here, he says, deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel men. Where do you think he was? He was in the midst of wicked people, right? Harm was coming to him. But notice what he says. Verse 5, for you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you have I've been holding up from the womb. You are he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of you. Can you see the confidence in that statement? Yes, he's facing some challenges, but he determines and he purposes that God is his hope. God is his strength. It's in God that your confidence needs to rely. Amen. See, if you rely on yourself, it's so easy to cast away the confidence and to lose the reward. But your confidence has to come from someone higher than you. Your confidence has to be greater than your circumstances. Your confidence has to have some higher standards. Your confidence has to have some power from on high in it in order for it to work. Okay? Go to verse 14 and 15. But I will hope continually and will yet praise you more and more. The language of confidence is praise more and more. When the going gets tough, the tough praise. I think of Paul and Silas, and I think of when they were in Philippi. How did they get there? They got a woman delivered from a demonic spirit. They cast the devil out of her, And in doing so, the town came against her because the people who owned this woman, she was divining. She was telling fortune. She was a fortune teller. She probably had a 1-800, tell me your fortune number. And Paul turned and he cast the spirit out of her. And they took him and Silas into custody. And they put him in a prison. They put him in the darkest part of the prison. And they were in chains. Now, a lot of people, when they're in that circumstance, they're going to be talking about the circumstance. They're going to say, boy, these chains hurt. They're going to say, boy, it's dark in here. They might even say, man, it really stinks in here. But not Paul and Silas. Huh? No, at midnight, they purposed in their heart to give praise to God. See, they were confident in God. No matter what situation they faced, no matter what challenge came upon them, their confidence was in God, and they began to praise God loudly because the Bible said that the other prisoners heard them praise. And what happened? Their praise changed the atmosphere of that prison. Their praise caused God's presence, see, because he inhabits praise. So the language of confidence has to be praise more and more. If you want to be confident, if you want to overcome, then you got to let God inhabit your praises. That means you got to be a bold praiser. I mean, Paul and Silas were not like church mice. We praise you, God, we praise you. I mean, if you praise them like that, the other people aren't going to hear. What happened? God came down. He shook that prison. He caused their chains to fall off. He caused their prison door to open. And he caused every other prisoner's chains to fall off and every other prison in that prison to open. And the miracle was no prisoner left. But that's what confidence will do. They could have sat there and celebrated their pain. You know, before being put in chains, they were beaten, by the way. They could have had a discussion about their wounds. You know, some of you have wounds from the past. Why are the wounds of the past a topic of discussion today? Don't you think today would be a good day to overcome those wounds? Well, be confident in God. Don't cast your confidence away because it has great recompense of reward. Amen. You know, confidence comes from knowing that God is, from knowing God and knowing that he's working. All right? Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. There was a boy by the name of David. And David had an opportunity to display confidence in God. And it was his confidence in God that brought a victory to a nation, and it transformed his life forevermore. Okay? We're going to hear this story of David. Now, we probably know this. We probably heard David preach more than any other person. I mean, there's probably been a lot of sermons about David. But David, what was he? What did he do for an occupation? He was a shepherd, okay? So David's job allowed him the freedom to spend time with God. While he was working, he was also developing his faith. He was developing his hearing ear to God's voice. God was preparing him for the future. Amen? Some of you are at a job. It's not your future job, but you're being prepared for the future. Okay? And one thing we know about David is David lived with God. And he would watch the flocks. He would stay with the flocks. And he would worship. We know David was a worshiper because he wrote a lot of psalms. We know he was a worshiper because when King Saul needed someone to play, they called on David because David was anointed with the Holy Ghost. He was anointed, and when he played, the demon spirit that was tormenting Saul would leave. Okay? So I want you to get this picture while David's got the flock on the hill and they're eating the grass and it's all calm. David's on his harp. Man, he's rocking on the harp. He's singing praise to God. What's he doing? He's magnifying his confidence. See, praise is the language of confidence. Okay? He's out there, you know, he's worshiping the unseen but ever-present Lord. How many know that David knew that there was a God? He just didn't know about him, but he knew him. There were some things that David knew about God. And he became well acquainted with the Most High. He apparently learned from God that no matter what challenge he faces, he can overcome. Because there was a boldness, there was a confidence inside of David that came on him. Where did it come from? It obviously came from him going to the presence of the Lord day after day, night after night. Okay? I mean, his confidence just didn't show up one day. You know, he didn't get a package from UPS or FedEx saying, "Here, David, there's a delivery for you." He opens it up and there was confidence there. No, see, confidence has to be developed. It's developed in your relationship with the Lord. It's developed in your relationship with the Word. That's why God said, study to show yourself approved unto God. Those who are approved unto God are those who are confident in God. So he kept his father's sheep. He worshiped the Lord. He built his relationship with God. And an opportunity comes. His father tells him, "I want you to take some food to your brothers who were at war." Israel was at war with the Philistines. And three of David's oldest brothers were soldiers in the Israeli army. And they were gathered in a valley in battle array against the Philistines. And so Jesse, David's father, wanted to bless his other sons, so he prepared a package for David to take to the battlefield. Okay? And look at verse 20. David rose up early in the morning. He left the sheep with the keeper. Even though David was going to be gone, he wanted to make sure the sheep were taken care of. And took and went as Jesse had commanded him. He came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. Okay? So here they are. They're arrayed in battle. And, you know, David heard this Philistine. Verse 23, "And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name. Out of the armies of the Philistines, he spoke according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the men, fled from him and were sore afraid." So everybody in the army cast away their confidence. They had no confidence to face this challenge that was now facing the army. They had no confidence to even stand against Goliath. Goliath had successfully intimidated the whole army. That's why God had to bring in an outsider. Okay? And so David inquires as to what's going to happen to the man who beats this guy. And, you know, they tell him, you're going to have fame. You're going to get to marry the king's daughter. You're going to be rich. And your family won't have to pay taxes. And David's thinking, wow, now that's a pretty good deal. Confidence always has a reward. Okay? See, David heard what the reward was. And his confidence was rising up saying, "You go ahead, David, you can do this." Okay? And so they tell him a second time. His brother's overhearing it, and his brother tries to intimidate him and says, who'd you leave those little sheep with? He tries to belittle David. But yet Eliab's sitting there, he's afraid of the giant. And that's often how intimidation is. The person that's trying to intimidate you is fearful of the thing that you're trying to face. Okay? And look at verse 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." This was strong confidence. This was a firm statement. This was calm and steady assurance that came from experiencing the goodness and faithfulness of God. This didn't just come upon David. David was operating in this in the field with the sheep. David was building his confidence. David was getting bold in the Lord. And we're going to see what added to that. See, David had personal experience of God working in his life. See, and as you grow in godly experiences, you'll grow in confidence. If you're a new believer, you don't have the experience to see how God has worked in your life. But if you've been a believer, you've gotten to see God work a little bit in your life. You've gotten to see him work in the challenges that you face. You've gotten to see God help you overcome, help you this way, help you that way. That builds your confidence. Okay? Did you know that tests often give way to testimonies? Testimonies are good, but how'd that testimony come about? You faced a test, and you overcame it. Although David was young, he was experienced in God. David was more mature in God than just about every one of those soldiers that were there, that were older than him. Why? Because of the amount of time he spent with God. How do you mature in God? You don't do it like natural way. You do it by spending time with God. So, what was the experiences that David said, I'll go fight this Goliath. And Saul and everybody doubted his ability. But then David said, well, I faced a lion and I faced a bear and I killed them both. Now you got to understand, the Bible reads that a lion came to David's flock and a lion had a lamb in its mouth. And David just didn't watch that lamb. He didn't yell for help. He ran after that lion. And he grabbed that lion, he delivered the lamb from its mouth, and he killed the lion. Where did he get such power? He got it from God. Why didn't David hesitate when he saw a lion? Because all the while he was building his confidence. See, when you build your confidence continually, you build your confidence continually so that when you need it, it's there. It's like keeping fuel in your car. If you want to keep driving, you got to keep fueling your car, right? I mean, yeah, God will let you ride on fumes for a little bit, but not for a while. Okay? So not only did David deliver the lamb, but he killed the lion. Then a bear came along. A bear tried to steal the lamb. David didn't run. David just didn't let the bear have its way and then leave. No, he went after that bear. How many of you would go after a lion and go after a bear without a gun? Come on. See, here's the thing about confidence. Every one of us is going to have experience. You need to go after your experience. You need to take the opportunities that God gives you. He went after the bear, and he delivered the lamb once again, and he killed the bear. He experienced God's faithfulness and power. And God will reward you by being able to do greater things. First the lion, then the bear, thirdly the giant. If you want to be able to face the giant, you have better face the lion and the bear before you get to the giant. Every one of us have lions and bears and giants that we face in life. And our confidence that we have in God will determine how the victory comes. Hallelujah. Here's what Charles Spurgeon said. A person with no godly experience is like a hollow drum. They do nothing and their spiritual life is blank. If they encounter a trial, a test, or a challenge, they have no experience from which to draw upon to know that God is faithful. They are soldiers who never met smelt powder. They are warriors who faint at the sight of blood. How shall they win eternal victory who this till this hour have taken their ease and their declined their labor and danger of war? See, if you're a do-nothing person, you will have very little confidence. But when you're faced with challenges and tests, you do something. The first thing you need to do is you need to turn to God. Secondly, you need to face that challenge with everything in you. Sometimes you need to fight the challenge. Sometimes you just need to face the challenge. I mean, with Jericho, all they had to do was face the challenge. They had to walk around the city, right? But Elijah, he had to encounter the prophets of Baal. He had to engage the prophets of Baal. He had to demonstrate God's power. One took on over 400 prophets and won. Why? Because he had confidence. And it was his confidence that was built up with the word of God. Anytime Elijah needed to go somewhere, the word would come to him and say, go here, and he would follow the word. So David relied on his personal experience with the lion and the bear to enable him to face the giant. Now, here's the thing. Because he conquered the lion and because he conquered the bear, he knew that the giant would be the same way. It doesn't matter the size of the opponent. It doesn't matter the size of the challenge. It matters the size of your confidence. How big is your confidence? How much do you trust God? How much do you believe in God's power? How much do you believe that God wants you to win? And that's what enables you to stand. You know, the New Testament in Ephesians says, having done all to stand, stand. How do you stand? I've done all, but I'm standing in confidence. I'm standing knowing that God is my deliverer. I'm standing knowing that God is my strength. I'm standing knowing that God will get me through this no matter what. Amen. That's what confidence is. Don't run from challenges. Face them. Watch and see what God will do. Gideon could have ran when God got his army down to 300 against an innumerable enemy, but he didn't. He faced the challenge. Abraham could have said, I only have 318 men, and there are five kings that attacked my nephew and took his stuff. What is that? He could have magnified the five kings, but he didn't. He took his 318 men, and he defeated five kings. How do you do that? You can't do that without God. Amen. Amen. You can't destroy a city whose walls are as thick as they are wide unless God stomps on them. But for 7 days, 13 times they walked around that city. They didn't know how God was going to do it. They just knew God was going to do it. You don't have to know how. You just have to know that he will. And they walked around that city with confidence. They're given Jericho. You know, they're looking at Jericho. Jericho's looking at them. They're looking at Jericho, but they're not saying anything because it wasn't time to say anything. When the time came for them to say anything, they shouted with confidence. And what happened when they shouted with confidence? The walls fell down flat. Secondly, confidence comes when you blend the human and the divine. David declared what he did, but he also declared what God did. It was a combination of the human and the divine together. I killed the lion, I killed the bear, and the Lord will deliver me from this giant. He said, the Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion. The Lord delivered me from the paw of the bear, and the Lord will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. Same victory, same confidence, different challenge. Like I said, it doesn't matter the challenge, it matters the confidence. I want you to be confident in God. I want you to be confident in the work that he's doing through you. I want you to be confident in his word, that you can make statements that are bold. You know, Pastor Fiona, in her last year of college at Lee University, which was Lee College, now Lee University, she took 25 hours of classroom time. She was a residential assistant, and she was secretary for a spiritual life club called Pioneers for Christ. And she had to go to the dean's office and get special permission to be able to take this load. And she went into the dean's office, and the dean was a little bit leery. He said, "We've never done this before." She said, "Look, I feel like I need to be out of here then. You just need to do it." And guess what? She did it. You know, I admire my wife's confidence. She is a confident woman. And she makes bold statements, and those statements come to pass. See, his assurance and his certainty came from previous experiences that he had with God. How did Sarah get strength to conceive? Hebrews 11 says she began to consider the faithfulness of God. She thought about how faithful God was when they left Haran, how faithful God was when they were in Egypt, how faithful God was when they traveled through the wilderness. And as she began to consider how faithful God was there, that she became convinced that he will be faithful here. The same faithfulness there, the same faithfulness here, is the same faithfulness that will be here. Why? Because God doesn't change. So David and God, they were partners in life. David honored God, and God worked through David. A good partnership. So don't shrink back from your challenges. Don't think the challenge is too big. There's nothing bigger than God. You can face anything. Next, David spoke of the divine side most. All the points which David made with him killing the lion and the bear, he wasn't doing it apart from God, he was doing it with God. Isn't it interesting how, you know, when David first made the statement, he didn't say God killed the lion, he said I killed the lion. How many know God works through you? Did you know that we have God's treasure, we have his very best in earthen vessels. God invested Christ in us, the hope of glory. And he put it in earthen vessels. God works through weak people. Amen. He told the Apostle Paul, when the Apostle Paul went to God and he said, "This thorn in the flesh, it's really bugging me and I want you to take it away." And God smiled and said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect," where? In weakness. So yes, we are weak, we are frail humans, but God's power is mighty, and he chose us to work through. He chose us weak people to display his power. Why? Because he gets the greatest glory. And we get the confidence out of it. Look back at the victories in your life. Look back and consider what God has done for you then. He'll do the same thing for you today. Amen. Hebrews 6, 11 talks about there are two immutable things about God. God cannot lie, and God doesn't change. The same God that delivered Israel from Egypt is the same God that can deliver you from any foe. The same God that caused David to kill the giant is the same God that works in you to face your challenges too. Your giants, your lions, your bears. Amen. We all have them. And guess what? We all will have them. You may face a herd of lions. So did Daniel. Daniel went right into the lion's den. How could you sleep in the midst of hungry lions? You can with confidence in God. Because confidence rests in God. Confidence is a place that you don't want to get out of. You don't have to leave. You could just stand your ground when you're confident in God. David could sleep peacefully on a lion's bed because he knew that God was with him. How could you get thrown into a fiery furnace and come out dancing and not even smell like smoke? See, that challenge was to compromise. Some of you will be challenged to compromise what you believe. And that's when your confidence will rise up and say, I don't think so. See, David knew that God, it was the same God with the lion, the same God with the bear, and it's the same God with the giants. So because God is the same, you get the same results. You know, yeah, the giant is 9 feet tall, probably a little bit bigger than the bear, definitely bigger than the lion. But they all suffered the same defeat because the confidence was the same, because the confidence was in God. See, you got to put your confidence in something that doesn't change. You can't put your confidence in feelings. Why? Feelings change. You can't put your confidence in emotions. Why? Emotions change. One minute you're crying, the next minute you're laughing. Emotions change. Feelings change. So you got to put confidence in something that is steadfast, immovable, unshakable, undaunting. Amen. You got to have your confidence in God. And finally, David's confidence came from his firm conviction that God's presence would be sufficient for his current crisis or challenge. Yeah, I know God delivered me then, but will he do it now? Yes. I know God healed me then, but will he heal me now? Yes. I know God brought me out then, but will he bring me out now? Yes. You see the point? God's presence is sufficient for today's emergency. Old battles give us new weapons. Don't weapon systems keep developing based on the enemy that we face? Why? Because our weapons change with the battles. And you might use one weapon in one battle and another weapon in another battle. How do you know which weapon? You got to listen to the commander-in-chief, Jesus, through the Holy Ghost network. He'll communicate to you. You might say, God, I need some air support. And God will send praise and pray. He'll give you the words to pray, and you can send an air assault against your enemy. You might be involved in hand-to-hand combat, wrestling with principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness. What do you need? You need strength to throw down your enemy. We got to throw down the enemy. That's confidence. And you know what? Each of us have a cross to bear. Don't make me bear your cross, and I won't make you bear my cross. Because you're designed for your cross, I'm designed for my cross. If we were to exchange crosses, it wouldn't work. Just do what God told you to do. David's instruction was, go give this food to your brothers. He didn't know that he was going to be facing a giant. But his confidence was ready. See, your confidence has to be ready at a moment's notice. You've got to be ready in season and out of season. So, David, his confidence was in God. And his confidence grew in God by the time that he spent with God. You know what things that will weaken your confidence? Let me give you this. Number one, willful sin. It'll weaken your confidence. When you sin, you have guilt and shame. And guilt and shame prevent you from going in God's presence. When Adam sinned, did he run to God or did he hide from God? And did he do something he knew he wasn't supposed to do? Yeah, he sinned willfully. It affected his confidence. Adam, where are you? Oh, I was hiding, Lord. Why were you hiding? Just the other day, you and I were walking in the cool of the day. Just the other day, you expected my presence. Number two, when you draw back. Hebrews 10, 37 and 38, God has no pleasure in those who draw back. What does it mean to draw back? Well, I'm not going to use that term, but it means to leave what you have now and go back to something else. Well, the Bible says it. It's like a dog that returns to its vomit. When you draw back, you know what? Drawing back can simply mean not facing your challenge, doing nothing. That's like you're drawing back. If God told you to stand, go and stand. A third thing that can weaken your confidence is shame and guilt. The Apostle Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He told people, he said, don't be ashamed of my chains. Why? Because you know how many people were getting saved while Paul was in chains? You know, he wrote some epistles from the prison. They're called prison epistles. A fourth thing that will weaken your confidence is complaining, murmuring, and grumbling. Numbers 14. Oh, the giants are too big. We can't go in. Okay, so you won't go in. You'll die. Complaining, murmuring, and grumbling will weaken your confidence. Fifthly, rebellion and stubbornness will weaken your confidence. Hebrews 3, 14 through 16. He talks about don't be stubborn, don't be rebellious. A sixth thing that will weaken your confidence is a condemned conscience. Did you know that if your heart condemns you, John says if your heart condemns you, if you're doing something in your heart saying you shouldn't be doing it, you're going against your own heart. When you go against your own heart, you're going to fail. You're not going to have confidence when your heart and your head don't agree. It's not going to work. Your heart and your head have to agree with this. Amen. This is the umpire right here. Amen. If your head needs to be aligned, get it aligned. If your heart needs to be aligned, get it aligned with this. And then finally, your confidence will decrease when you trust in man. When you put confidence in the flesh. When you trust in your own ability, it's going to weaken your confidence and things won't work out. So who needs a confidence boost today? You got to get to the point. Go to Habakkuk chapter 3, and I'm going to close with this. Go to Zephaniah and make a left. You want to hear confidence? Listen to this. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Though the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the cattle in the stalls. That sounds like pretty dire circumstances, doesn't it? Notice what he said. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He made the determination that if nothing works out in the natural, I'm not going to stop praising God. I'm not going to stop giving God the glory. I'm confident in God, not in my circumstances. So if my circumstances don't look good, I know God looks good. So I'm going to be confident in God. He said, and he finished, he said, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. Now that is awesome. Hallelujah. I don't care if nothing's working out, I'm going to rejoice in God. Because you can be one thing, you can be confident in God. Right. And if your confidence is in something else, change. Amen. It's a good day to change your confidence. we're going to be digging deeper into this. Amen? Amen. But I feel like there's some people here today that you're at the point where you're ready to cast away your confidence. You're at the point where you're ready to give up. You can bring them down if you need to. You're at the point where you're ready to give up. I'm here to say to you today, don't give up. Don't. It's never a good time to quit. Amen. But it is a good time to stand. It is a good time to press on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was beaten 5 times. Paul was whipped 3 times. Paul was shipwrecked 2x. Paul had false brethren, but that did not stop him because his confidence was in God. He kept pressing on. He kept doing what God wanted him to do. He kept going where God wanted him to go. And he didn't quit no matter the challenges that he faced because Paul was confident in God. And you can be confident in God today too. Just like Paul was. We got to establish our confidence in God. So if you're at the point where you feel like quitting, it's time to eradicate that thought today. Amen. You're not going to quit. You're going to face and you're going to win. Amen. You're going to rise above. Amen. Man, you're like the cream. You might get stirred up a little bit, but you always come to the top. You're the cream of the crop. So is there anybody here today that you need a confidence boost? You need God to help and enhance your confidence? I'd like to pray for you today. So if that's you, Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would move and that people who need this would come forth and receive from your good hand. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And if you need a confidence boost, just come on up today, right now, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God designed you to be an overcomer. You got to see yourself as an overcomer. You got to believe that God enables you to overcome. Father, I give you thanks and praise right now for strength to come to her. Father, I pray that she would be strengthened with might in her inner man by the Holy Spirit. Lord, that she would be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might to overcome and face these challenges, Father, to face the things and to be victorious in Jesus' name. You may have asked, why can't things just be easy? Why do things have to be so hard? The harder things are, the greater your faith will be. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, just be the glory and the lifter of her head right now. And Father, just let her know that she can whoop every challenge. She can overcome every obstacle. She can remove every mountain. And it's done by faith. It's done by hearing the word and carrying out the action. So Father, make her, I want to say this, a warrior princess. A warrior princess that faces the challenges fearlessly and overcomes. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you, Lord, for touching her and making that whole, making that a reality in Jesus' name. Oh, yes. The challenges you face are many. And they're very real because they affect everything. So, Father, right now, I thank you that she is confident in you. And, Lord, I thank you that you give